Good morning. Welcome to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. My name is Christine Matthews, one of your pastors here, and it is so good to see you in worship this morning, whether you are with us in the sanctuary or online or later at 11 o'clock or on the podcast. We are all part of the Travelers Rest United Methodist Church family, and it is good to be in worship together one way or another this morning. Amen. Amen. Let us begin our worship with song as the Psalm 100 praise band leads us. Let us stand as we are able.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love, as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart.
Reading. Hear these words of Jesus from John's Gospel. I'm praying for them, for those you gave me, because they are yours. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that we can be one, so that can be one just as we are one. In them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you have loved them just as you loved me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's continue to praise God in song.
Sacrifice.
from your church we pray. As you pour your grace upon us, may we always thirst to be one in love and one in worship, children of eternity. Praise we bring to God the Father, praise we bring
again, TRUMC. My name is Jonathan Tompkins, the other of your pastors here, and we are so grateful that you have joined with us both here in person and those of you online or those of you out in the parking lot, those who will be here later today. All of you today are part of the TRUMC family, and we're so grateful to see you. And if you in person here would please begin passing the attendance pads. You will find them on the middle aisle side of your pew. If you mark down that you're here, and if you're joining us today for the first time, if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. Also, if you're online right now or even later this week, we want to know that you are worshiping with us as well. Please go to our website and find our digital connect card. Just let us know that you're worshiping with us. And while you're there, you can also submit a prayer request or submit some questions to find out more information about us. Friends, just some announcements for us today. Please make note that you can sign up online to help lead worship on a Sunday morning. We've got more slots now that are available now through the coming months. So we need acolytes and Bible bearers. We need scripture readers and greeters and ushers. And I'm putting out a special call. We need folks to give the children's moment. Starting next Sunday, we are reinstituting our children's moments. And we need you to give just a 2 or 3 minute little message crafted to our youngest disciples. They come up front. We talk to them. Are we a church that welcomes children, friends? Yes. Oh, yes. I heard that. Yes, we are. And so we need you to be part of that welcome. And so please go online this week. Let's get all of those children's moment slots filled for the next couple of months. A reminder to our young people, our K-3 through grade 5 children who are eager to sing. Our Trumpets Children's Choir is rehearsing this afternoon at 5 p.m. for their upcoming performance. A reminder to our teenagers, our 6th through 12th graders, UMYF, United Methodist Youth Fellowship, meets this evening at 5 p.m. as well. If you want to be in a growth group, please talk to Pastor Christine. On your way out today, if your information has changed in the past year, we need it updated for our church directory. There is a copy of the directory out there in the sanctuary entranceway. Please fill that out if there is a change. And make a note for Super Bowl Sunday. In a couple of weeks, we give soup and other non-perishables to help feed hungry people. You'll be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. Dave Cost would like to talk to you for a moment about our next Rebuild Upstate project.
Good morning. For the last 6 or 7 years now, volunteers from our church have joined an organization called Rebuild Upstate to repair homes in northern Greenville County. Rebuild Upstate is an organization that repairs the houses of low-income neighbors to make homes safer, healthier, and more livable. Our church is again partnering with Rebuild in 2 weeks. That's Saturday, February 11th, to make repairs on a home near Travelers Rest. So we need 5 volunteers, just 5, for this effort to make that happen. So normally, what we'll do here is we'll meet at the church around 8 o'clock that morning. We'll be installing, and then we'll drive out to the home. Then we'll be installing a porch handrail, replacing rotted wood on the porch, and removing siding on the house to remove and replace more rotted wood that exists under the siding. Now, Rebuild Upstate provides a team leader, all the tools, and all the materials. So we don't have to worry about that. We just provide the manpower. And you don't have to be experienced to do this. Snacks, drinks, and lunch will be provided. So depending on how fast the work is completed, we typically finish between 1 and 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And women, you are invited as well. Rossi's been on one of these too, and she got a hammer and a drill. Get it going. So there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex on the table right as you leave in the middle. So please consider signing up. Shake off the COVID blues, and let's get more involved in the community. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave. You can see that our communion table is set up today. This is a communion Sunday. Just a reminder, here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table. That means that all are invited today. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be United Methodist. All you have to be is willing to receive the good gifts of God's grace that we feel are represented to us by the bread and by the cup. You online, we also want you to participate in communion with us today as well. If you have some bread and some kind of juice handy, go ahead and get that ready, and you too can participate in our sacrament today. Those of you in person, when you come forward for communion, we're going to ask that you come. There's going to be two stations set up here. You come down the middle aisle, come with your hand out, and a piece of bread will be put into your hand, and then take that bread, dip it into the cup, and partake of the elements together. If you would, we use King's Hawaiian sweet bread. If you would prefer a gluten-free version of that Hawaiian bread, we also have that as well. Please just indicate that to your server. If you would prefer the prepackaged elements, we also have those available. Just again, ask your server. If you are not able to come forward, please either just raise your hand or let the person around you know to tell us, and we will make sure to bring the elements to you. All are invited today to Christ's table for our Holy Communion. And you are now invited to open your ears, minds, hearts, souls, and selves to the reading of God's Word. Donna is here to read to us today from Acts 15. In addition to being on the screen, it's also on the back of your bulletin on your trail guide so we all can follow along.
Today's scripture is taken from Acts 15 and different selection of verses. This would be first verse 1 through 2. Some people came down from Judea, teaching the family of believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom we have received from Moses, you cannot be saved." Paul and Barnabas took sides against these Judeans and argued strongly against their position. The church at Antioch appointed Paul, Barnabas, and several others from Antioch to go up to Jerusalem to set the question before the apostles and the elders. Verse 12, the entire assembly fell quiet as they listened to Barnabas and Paul describe all the signs and wonders God did among the Gentiles through their activity. Verse 30, when Barnabas, Paul, and the delegates were sent on their way, they went down to Antioch. They gathered the believers and delivered the letter. Verses 35 through 41. Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, where together with many others, they taught and proclaimed the good news of the Lord's word. Sometime later, Paul and Barnabas said, "Let's go back and visit all the brothers and sisters in every city where we preach the Lord's word. Let's see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Paul insisted they shouldn't take him along, since he had deserted them and Pamphylia and hadn't continued with them in their work. Their argument became so intense that they went their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, entrusted by the brothers and sisters to the Lord's grace. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. In the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. Amen.
beautiful Psalm 100 band. Thank you. I want to point you once again to the back of your bulletin to your trail guide. In addition to today's scripture, there's some blank space there for you to take notes. It's always our hope that God will be speaking a word meant just for you today, and you're going to want to write down some things and take them with you this week. Then there are some next steps for the journey and a prayer for this week's walk. All of this is designed to take what we do in here today out into your week and out into the world. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, last week, started off my sermon by talking about marriage vows, and we, of course, went into talking about the vows of membership. When you join our church, we take vows to remain, to abide. As long as there is love, we vow to remain with each other, even when we disagree. Now, using that same kind of metaphor for marriage, unfortunately, there are times when one or both of those parties can no longer fulfill those vows. And so that leads to separation, that leads to divorce. Now, there are various reasons for divorce. There are various kinds of divorces. Regretfully, too often, I think that we see divorce, and that involves anger, it involves vitriol, it involves tearing each other down in front of the family. Those are unfortunate kinds of divorces. I am a child of divorce. My parents separated and then divorced when I was 12 years old. I was in sixth grade. And if there can be any such thing as a good divorce, I am the product of that, thankfully. I know not all are like that. But my parents handled it very well. From what I saw, they were amicable. They remained friends. In fact, they even told me, Jonathan, we're going to be better friends because of this. And from what I saw, that seemed to be the case. They did it very amicably. And they centered it around love. No longer necessarily love for each other, but love for me. And I was grateful for that. So my parents, they went their separate ways, but they kept in touch. And interestingly enough, when my mother remarried a couple of years later, several of you have met my stepfather, Don. He's preached here a couple of times. He even became friends with my father. And there was one instance I remember, he went to the hospital, and my stepfather was the first one to go and visit him. And so they modeled this way of being separate and yet keeping love at the center. I'm grateful for that. So in the life of the church, there are times that people have to go their separate ways. Now, it happens naturally in the life of the church. I mean, I've been here long enough to where several of our folks have moved away, you know, or there's other life changes that lead to a separation. And sometimes we just have to go our separate ways. You know, when folks have moved, we actually have a liturgy of blessing to bless them as they go. Maybe you've been here before when we've announced that somebody has moved and we've brought them up here and blessed them and sent them on their way, a blessing for leaving. One of the beautiful things about the United Methodist Church is there's pretty much one wherever you move, and so if you are going to move, come to me, we'll bless you, and then we will find a good UMC for you wherever you go. Great to be part of a connectional church. So sometimes naturally, we separate because of the changes in life. And then there are other times, of course, that we separate as well. And these can be a little bit more painful. These can be a little bit more awkward. For whatever reason, sometimes church members find that they can no longer fulfill their vows of membership in this particular congregation. And so we separate, and so we part. And so then we have to deal with the question of how is it that we part? How do we part? apart. Unfortunately, sometimes it's like the rest of society. It's like those really bad divorces. There's anger, there's vitriol, there's tearing each other down in front of the family. Those are unfortunate. But I've found something interesting. These days, it's not so much the anger and the vitriol, it's more subtle than that. It's ghosting. Have you heard this term, ghosting? This is actually comes from dating these days. Millennials and Xennials, when they date, they're dating, they're going out, and then they're texting a lot, and then all of a sudden, the texts stop, the dates stop, radio silence. There is no conversation. It just stops, and this term is called ghosting. It's like the other person has become a ghost. They no longer communicate. They have separated. You know, if you think about it, in our society today, it's easier to leave than ever, isn't it? I mean, I think about I'm on so many email lists out there, right? And every once in a while, I'll get tired of it because I get an email that I always delete, and finally I just scroll down to the bottom, and what do? I click unsubscribe. And it's easy because it's a click, and then maybe one other click that says, "Are you sure?" Yes. And it's easy to unsubscribe. I never have to speak to another person. I never have to see somebody else's face. I just click unsubscribe. Or sometimes if there's something else you want to get rid of, I want to stop this subscription, and they send you to a chat bot. And it's like you're texting with another person, but it's actually a bot, right? It's actually AI. And so it's so easy to unsubscribe these days. It's easy to ghost. And that's not just in dating. It's not just for email lists. It happens in the life of the church as well. We tend to see a lot of holy ghosting here in the church, although it's kind of the opposite of holy ghost, isn't it? You know, there's times when folks are just, they're here and they're present and they're praying and they're serving and they're giving, and then all of a sudden one day they're not here, and then that turns into a month and that turns into 6 months and they're just gone. There's no conversation. And you've done it before. You reach out and, "Hey, we miss you. Hey, where are you? Is everything okay?" Yeah. It's either, "Yeah, we're fine," or there's radio silence, and then it's turned into a few years and gone. And I got to be a little vulnerable with you right now. In a lot of ways, that's more hurtful to us than anger and vitriol and tearing down, because there's no closure. There's no end to it. We're just left here wondering. I just literally yesterday morning, I just read an article in the most recent issue of Men's Health magazine. It's not a religious magazine. But there was an article about a guy who decided for the new year to give up ghosting in his relationship. Listen to what he said. He said, for years, this is how I handled it. I would just ghost. I would just peter out and never text the person again. And he said, "I managed to convince myself that this was the most ethical approach until someone called me out. I'd been doing the usual ghosting for 2 weeks until she texted me point blank, 'Are you into me or not?' I took the out. 'No, I'm not.' 'That's fine,' she replied, 'but I wish you had just told me, because these last few weeks have been really confusing. Since then, I've tried to be more upfront. I messaged them something along the lines of, 'Hey, I had a fun time getting to know you, but sadly, I'm not feeling that spark, so I'd like to stop dating.' It's better knowing that, while they may be hurt in the moment, I'm saving them the pain and confusion that comes from prolonging the inevitable, and there's some solace in that." It may be painful in the moment, but in the long run, you save them the confusion, the pain, the hurt of wondering and of not knowing. So, if there ever comes a time, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, right? Because y'all are here. You haven't ghosted us. But if there ever does come a time when there's something, just talk to us. Have the conversation with somebody in the church, even if it's awkward, even if it's hard. And I would love to think that we can have that conversation and we can work something out. We can, even in our disagreements, like we talked about last week, we can still be together and still be part of the church. But if it doesn't work and if you have to go, let us bless your leaving. Let us bless your leaving. Maybe not publicly like we do when somebody moves, or maybe we should do it publicly, right? Maybe we need to cultivate a culture of leaving well, even if it's painful, even if it's awkward. Maybe we just need that. Maybe that will help us to stop the ghosting and the leaving unwell. So I've got plenty of examples of people leaving unwell, but I do have some of people leaving well also. I remember one time there was a couple who were with us for quite a while, and he came and we sat down together, and he just said, "Jonathan, we're going to go to this other church. We love Travelers Rest United Methodist. We love the worship. We love the people. But this other church is where my wife grew up, and they need us right now. And that's home to us, and we feel that our gifts will be better used there." And I thanked him, and I blessed him, and I blessed them both, and I said, "Go. If that's where you're being called to go, then we support that and go." It was a wonderful conversation. It's our loss, but it's that other church's gain. There was another time when somebody came, and we sat down at breakfast together. We sat down at a table and ate together, and he just disagreed with the direction that our church was going on a particular thing, and we sat and we hashed it out, and I listened, and I knew I wasn't going to change his mind, and he knew he wasn't going to change my mind, and yet we just talked, and we worked it out, and we left saying, you know, he said, we're not going to be part of this congregation anymore, but we're still going to be friends. He's like, I still love you, and we're still going to, you know, be in relationship together. And a few years later, we still are. We're just not part of the same church anymore. Sitting down at a table, eating together, and blessing each other. So both those instances, we were able to bless their leaving without the holy ghosting, without the anger, without the vitriol, without the tearing down. It can be done. So how do we cultivate this culture in the church of leaving well? I don't expect us to do this overnight, but it's something that we can pray about, we can work towards. How do we leave well? There is a church, Cross City Church in Ohio, that if you go to their website, in addition to, you know, your worship times and your ministries and all that, you can click on a tab that says how to be sent out or leave the church. This is part of what it says. There are many ways in which God calls his children out of one spiritual family into another. Physical moving, leading to a new mission, and disagreement are all ways in which God moves his children. All these may happen without sin and with a full and righteous leading of the Spirit. We pray and ask the members of our church to be prayerful, honest, and communicate concerns, offenses, hopes, and ideas in an early fashion, rather than allowing them to fester in isolation and cause division, hurt, or other ungodly effects within God's family. So I think that's a great start. Be prayerful, be honest, communicate, not just offenses, but also hopes and ideas. Communicate, have a conversation, even if it's awkward. And then, of course, when we have that conversation, we can use the guidelines that we talked about last week from that book, Brave Church, by Elizabeth Hagen. We have the same attitude towards each other that Christ has towards each of us. The same attitude towards the other when we talk. We deal with controversy with civility. We're aware that whatever we say, it can hurt, and so we temper that. And we show respect. We don't attack the other person, even if we challenge their ideas. We have brave conversations. There's another church, Scottsdale Bible Church in Arizona, that has, this is kind of their mentality, and it's almost like a vision statement for them. Come, grow, and go. Come, grow, and go. They're in a really kind of a mobile area, transitional area, where a lot of people are coming and going. And so this is their mentality, that you can come for a while, grow for a while, and then go wherever God is sending you next. Go. In our transient society today, many folks may ultimately go, but hopefully they will grow. As they grew with us, they'll grow in another place as well. It's just a good mentality to have, that we don't own people, that they can grow with us for a while and then go and grow in other places. So it's possible we can go our separate ways and still keep in touch and still have love at the center, love of Christ. The love of Christ, who loves each of us, even if we go. We see this in Scripture. We see this in our Scripture verse today from Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, these are like the dynamic duo of disciples. We see that they have been arguing against the Judeans, the Judaizers. This was a faction that was trying to get Gentiles who were just coming into the Christian faith. They were trying to say that they've got to follow all of the rules that we Jews follow, including being circumcised. Not the best evangelism technique, if you ask me. How'd you like to be on the circumcision committee here at the church? This was a 3,000 year tradition. This was like the Bible said, like, you've got to be circumcised. And yet Paul and Barnabas are arguing against this. They traveled to Jerusalem together to the first annual conference at Jerusalem. And they argued successfully for them to set aside thousands of years of what we do and what the Bible says in order for the Gentiles to enter into the faith. Paul and Barnabas were a dynamic duo together. They were unified in their decision. They were unified in their ministry. They convinced the rest of the disciples to come around, and then, ironically, they disagreed. Barnabas wanted to bring along John Mark on their next ministry journey, but Paul disagreed with that. Barnabas, John Mark deserted us. He ghosted us before. There's no way we're bringing him along with us this time. And it says their argument became so intense that they went their separate ways. They went their separate ways. After being superheroes of the faith and being so unified together, they argued and they parted. And they both continued in ministry, strengthening the churches, according to Acts. If you think about it, instead of just one missionary journey, it became two. Paul did his Paul thing. And we've got half the New Testament because of that. And we've got lots of churches and Christians to thank Paul for that. Paul did his Paul thing. And then Barnabas took John Mark with him to Cyprus. And we read later on in Scripture that John Mark, because of that, actually became a stronger disciple because of that. In fact, traditionally, John Mark became the writer of Mark's gospel, according to tradition. And there's also evidence that ultimately Paul and Barnabas reconciled. We read Paul's second letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul makes this remark at the end of his letter: "Get Mark and bring him with you. He's been a big help to me in the ministry." And then in Colossians 4:10, he also mentions Mark and Barnabas, indicating to us that Paul and Barnabas and Mark ultimately reconciled, even though they went their separate ways. They kept in touch. They were centered on love, love of Christ, love for Christ and from Christ. So friends, hear me clearly. I would love all of you to stay here at TRUMC forever. I'm a little bit partial to the United Methodist Church. I would love for you to stay United Methodist forever. I'm partial to the United Methodist Church. It was the United Methodist Church in which this 25-year-old came back into the Christian faith after 7 years of being an atheist, agnostic, wandering away from what he grew up with. It was the United Methodist Church that brought me back into the faith. I came back to faith. It was in the United Methodist Church where I met Jesus again after running away. Actually, the better term for that, he met me. As I was, he met me, but thankfully he loved me so much he didn't leave me that way. He started working on me, he started changing me, and I learned in the United Methodist Church there's a term for that, it's called sanctification. His sanctifying grace started working on me and made me more like him. I am by no means like him yet, but thank God I'm more like him than I was. It was the United Methodist Church that took a chance on this young, 25-year-old, inexperienced guy who applied for a youth ministry job. And they gave it to him. It was the United Methodist Church that taught me how to follow Christ with my heart, my head, my hands, my everything. It was the United Methodist Church that taught me how to love God with everything I've got and to love my neighbor as I love myself. To love God, to love my neighbor, and to love myself. It taught me how to do no harm, to do good, and to stay in love with God. Those three simple rules. Simple. The United Methodist Church taught me so much about grace. But it also taught me about responsibility. See, we've got God's grace surrounding us, but we've got to use God's grace to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, according to those baptismal vows. We've got to trust Christ's grace, and we've got to serve him as our Lord with all the rest of God's children. We've got to remain, abide, bear with each other. We've got to remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as his representatives in the world. We've got to bear witness to the love of God in this world so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. The United Methodist Church taught me that. Continues to teach me that. It was in the United Methodist Church that I first heard my call to ministry, first to Utes, 5 years ministry to teenagers, and then ultimately to all of y'all, all of you Utes, all of God's children. So you can see why I'm a bit partial to the UMC. And my friends, I'm really partial to TRUMC. 10 years in one place will do that to you. So I would love it if you would be part of this church forever. But if you go to another church, even if it's another denomination, you'll still be able to love God and to love others. And Jesus will love you. And I will love you. And I will bless you. We will bless you. As long as there is love, we can go our separate ways. We can keep in touch. We can multiply through division. Those words of Jesus that we opened the service with, his wonderful prayer to God, I'm in them, he's talking about us, I'm in them, and Lord, you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one, Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you loved me. Jesus is praying, may they be one. Even if they leave one table for another, Jesus says, I'll just extend my table. I'll just make it that much bigger. Because love means a bigger table. Amen.
My friends, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. This is not a TRUMC table. This is not even a Methodist table. This is a table of grace. This is a table of inclusion. This is the Lord's table, and all people are welcome to it. Amen? Amen. As we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, let us begin with confession. Let us pray. O God, we confess that we have all sinned and fallen short. We have all missed the mark often. We are far from perfect. Indeed, we have hurt one another. We have all done some harm, knowingly or unknowingly. We are all part of the problem. But you, O God, are the solution. Because you forgive us all. And this is the good news. You died for us for the forgiveness of our sins. My friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I am forgiven. We all are forgiven. Amen. Amen. If you will join me in the liturgy of the great thanksgiving, the blessing over the bread and the cup that make this not just a snack, but spiritual food for our souls. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, God Almighty, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, if our communion servers will come forward. My friends, as you come, if you will put your hands in the shape of the cross as you come, because receiving communion is something that we receive. It's not something that we can take. It is a gift of grace. A piece of bread will be put into your hands, and then you can dip it gently into the cup. We do have gluten-free options and the prepackaged options as well. My friends, you are invited. Each of you individually, you as a group, are invited to come to the Lord's table and experience his mercy, and experience his grace, and experience his forgiveness, because we all need it. You may come.
Here's to the ones that you can laugh with. The same ones you ugly cry with. Here's to the ones you go to war with and go to war for. Here's to the ones that know your secrets, but they don't see you any different. Sense when you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. Life is complicated and our pride says we can make it on our own, but the truth is simple, we need people. Not always. is easy, it's gonna get messy. It's hard, but I'm learning. It's necessary. If you wanna grow, then you can't go it alone, friend. Gotta open the door and let someone in. Gotta let someone in. Highs get a little bit higher, the lows make a little more sense. And you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. The highs are a little bit higher, the lows make a little more sense. When you got someone in your corner that you know you can live it with. Oh, life is complicated. Pride says we can make it on our own, but the truth is simple, we need people. Yeah, we need people.
Friends, if you will join me in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If you would like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ through the ministries of our church, please speak with me or Pastor Jonathan after service today. And now we are sent forth with song, Psalm 100 Band.
Let us go with the words from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Rome and his letter to the church at Traveler's Rest. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Friends, go and brim over. Amen.